Good morning and welcome to the Bible study on the Messenger of Good News, Worldwide, KFUO Radio. KFUO Radio is a broadcast ministry of the Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod. I'm Roland Lettner. Thanks for joining us on Monday. Back to the grind. Back to the grind. Back to the grind. I don't mean me. No, that's just the way people talk about their jobs, I guess. Monday comes and back to the grind. I love coming back on Mondays. I really do. The weekends are fine, but, you know, you get to spend time in the Word of God. You get to do the Bible study. You get to spend time with great pastors who teach and enlighten and edify on the Word of God. Who wouldn't want to come to work on Monday if you didn't work for a place like KFUO? This is a great job here and a great time to be had by all, we hope, as we go through and continue our study of 2 Corinthians chapter 6 today, our assignment, verses 3 to 13, with our very good friend, Pastor David Boies Clare, joins us again, serving two congregations, Faith and Bethesda Lutheran Churches, there, sort of as we established last time, Pastor, in the southern part of North County.
Yes, exactly. And by the way, I'm sorry that I'm over the phone this morning.
Well, that's okay.
Well,
we know that the price of gasoline is interfering with the mission of the church, but we endeavor to proceed anyway.
Absolutely, absolutely. And I'm just really thrilled to hear that the gospel voice of our church is doing so well, and that those that are faithfully carrying out the work of that ministry are happy to come to work on Monday morning.
I'm not bragging. I just am.
I know.
And I don't know why. This is probably the only job I've had in my life where I didn't have those Sunday evening blahs where you sit there sometime around 7:30, 8 o'clock at night, and you go, I have to go back to work tomorrow.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
So, you know, I guess vocation is a good gift from God, though some of us may not see it that way.
Sure,
you know,
yeah.
That's one of the things. How about you? We're going to talk a little bit about vocation today.
Absolutely.
The trials and tribulations of vocation. That's why I start the way I do. I wonder if Paul had those moments where he thought, I have to deal with Corinthians again.
I'll tell you what. It was a lot more hairy in his time. I mean, he was shipwrecked, once and stoned a number of times, and you know, he didn't have a real easy time as an apostle. You know, it wasn't easy.
He's not the poster boy for vocation in ministry, is he?
Oh no! In fact, they had that joke that they put out in the 70s, where a mission board rejected his application for being a missionary because of some of his
he doesn't seem very successful.
No. Neither did Christ. I mean, Jesus didn't travel much, although the tradition said he traveled to India. That's what the Hindus think, that he was the Saint Isa that went to India and everything. But that's all bogus, apocryphal type of mythology, you might say. But St. Paul, did do a lot of traveling.
Yeah, he did. He did get around, and that's, yeah. I guess, part of the thing that we'll talk about today is how much time he spent where and how what's happening in Corinth seems to be preoccupying him and how it may affect his other missions elsewhere. But let's begin with prayer, as we do here on the Bible study, and get right about the work assigned for us today.
Certainly. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this gospel voice that we have in KFUO Radio, and we thank you for the opportunity to share with our listeners in the best sense of faith cometh by hearing, that we are able for them to hear your word and to also prayerfully study that word and also intend to know more about our Savior Jesus Christ as we study that word together. We ask your Holy Spirit's guidance upon us as we study this precious word together. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Pastor.
Yes.
If you'd like to join the program with a question, comment, or whatever may cross your mind, 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727, and KFUO at KFUO.org. Okay, 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 3 to 13. We begin at verse 3.
Yes.
We put no obstacle in anyone's way so that no fault may be found with our ministry, but as servants of God we commend ourselves in every way, by great endurance, in affliction, hardships, calamities, beatings, imprisonments, riots, labors, sleepless nights, hunger, by purity, knowledge, patience, kindness, the Holy Spirit, genuine love, by truthful speech, and the power of God, with the weapons of righteousness for the right and for the left. Through honor and dishonor, through slander and praise, we are treated as impostors and yet are true, as unknown yet well known, as dying, and behold, we live, as punished and yet not killed, as sorrowful yet always rejoicing, as poor yet making many rich, as having nothing yet possessing everything. We have spoken freely to you, Corinthians. Our heart is wide open. You are not restricted by us, but you are restricted in your own affections. In return, I speak as to children, widen your hearts also. And that is our text for today. Yeah. Well, I'll say this, Pastor Boyce Clare, as we see Paul seemingly complaining again, what is his primary issue here?
He's telling the Corinthians we're down but not out. He wants to mention the fact of that the church appears in weakness in the world, and that outward appearance can be deceiving because inside there is such tremendous power of the Holy Spirit and of being God's will and God's kingdom in the world. You look at Jesus walking around the Holy Land. The Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. Foxes have holes and birds of the air have nests, and yet you have God present among us. And especially this is encouraging when Christians are being persecuted and so in a sense there's the appearance in this world of being a failure. And Paul says we're not failures by any stretch of the imagination. He's saying, look at what, in a sense, I think maybe he's trying to tell them, because the Corinthians sort of had a flippant attitude toward the apostle, maybe the Galatians too, where they say, well, you know, we're better than he is, or Paul of course has said that, you know, not be very impressive in his appearance and everything. But Paul is saying, hey, look at what I'm doing for you guys. You know, by the grace of God, of course. You know, I've my life isn't easy. Sometimes maybe some pastors have to sometimes tell their people. It's not easy being a pastor in a world like today. I remember one time a guy, this member of my church out when I was in Jonesburg, said, well, Pastor, I just went in to see the pastor, and I really was going to rake him over the coals. And then I saw him put his feet up, and I saw that the soles of his shoes were worn through to his stocking feet. And that got me to realize that, a pastor isn't, driving around in a Rolls Royce or something and really rich. And so, the Apostle Paul is saying that this is not easy what I'm doing.
Well, the question comes up, this particular text, these 10 odd verses here, is this law, is this gospel, or is this just Paul sort of being Paul?
Oh, it's certainly Paul being Paul, but it is certainly gospel. He's saying, even though all of this is happening to me, the power of God is at work in me. You know, even though we look like we're dying here, we look like we're really being crushed out. You know, like maybe Nero thought, well, I can crush these Christians squish them like a bug. They still have resiliency because they are God's people in the world. They're the kingdom of God present in the world.
But the Corinthians are a bunch of jerks.
Yeah, they are. but it's interesting. They are also very spiritually blessed jerks, you might say, because they as St. Paul says, you're lacking in no spiritual gift, so in other words, there's a lot of potential there. Even as God told the apostle, I have many people in this city. You know, when he was doing his first missionary journey in which he was in Corinth, that God told him, or Christ told him, I have many people in this city. And so it's kind of like, or like Elijah, who says, "I'm the only one left." And well, I, you know, yet there are, 3,000 that have not bowed the knee to Baal, nor have haven't kissed him.
And so, but you say this is gospel. Couldn't you, or am I wrong to see this as being law? Because by saying, you know, it's kind of like your mother, I was in labor 17 and a half hours with you, and it's all to guilt you into doing something that you're probably not doing, or to feel guilty
You can always read passages of Scripture in both ways,
okay.
And I think you can do that. But, with this, I see Paul saying, you know, just being very perky and saying, you know, I'm down but not out. It's really been a rough road, but look at, Satan and his minions try to destroy me and put a impediment into my way, and I'm still able to come out ahead for the Lord by the grace of God, the Holy Spirit.
Well, God's grace is an amazing thing, and no pun intended, but you know, you can be a jerk, you can treat people badly, and you can still be in God's grace. This doesn't make sense.
Well, no, I would guess not. I mean, that's where we need to put some law. That's where we need to say, well, it's an evidence that someone is not in God's grace when they're acting like a jerk. That's a sin, of course, and that's why the Apostle Paul. I mean, the sins of the Corinthian congregation are really grave, and he even goes through in the first letter, of course, he's imposing Christian discipline on the
right.
man who was married to his stepmother, and then in 2 Corinthians he lifts the excommunication in a sense, or the congregation lifts it, and he urges them to do that, and so in a sense too, it can be law statement. But see, he's not telling them that they're doing this to him. This is something that's being done to him, which is also an evidence of the truth of the fact that it is God's word. You know, that the forces of evil in the world, human and spiritual, will try to stamp out the gospel.
Is it a sin? Essentially, is that what we're seeing here, that Paul is saying that it's a sin to doubt that he's an apostle?
Well, I mean, considering the evidence of what he's saying, I would say yes, because he has done the signs of an apostle. His call from God, which is an immediate call. We talk that those who are in the spiritual office of the ministry receive immediate calls, which are through congregations or through the church. But St. Paul, of course, had his immediately from Christ himself. And as I mentioned to another of my friends we were talking about the office of the ministry, and I talked about immediate calls, that as an apostle he is to do the signs of an apostle. So in a sense, yes, if they are rejecting what the Apostle Paul says and they are also rejecting his apostolic ministry, they are also sinning, yes, I would say.
With this exposition of all of his trials and everything that he's had to suffer and endure, is Paul not, I don't want to say demanding, but is he strongly encouraging them to repent of this behavior?
Yes, absolutely, absolutely. And the thing is that ultimately it shows with the history of the church through the Roman Empire, that ultimately, even though, you know, you had a last ditch effort by Diocletian to wipe out Christianity, and of course he was a smart man that he was, he knew the best way to do that was to burn or get rid of the scriptures, you might say. Of course, even then, you know, God can still preserve his church even though all the Bibles would be burned. You know, the thing is that it's the opposition of two ages, the present evil age and the new age to come, and then like in this world that's surrounded by the institutions of this age, there's such, you know, antipathy, anger, hatred toward the good news of the gospel and its messengers, St. Paul.
Right. Well, you affirmed very strongly that Paul wants the Corinthians to repent of this, but to what end? I mean, does he want them to essentially become, well, well-behaved? To what end is he asking for the repentance?
Well, what he's doing is that they will pray for him, that they will support his ministry. Well, I mean, like as he tells them in this particular passage about the Philippians, as you will see in the next chapters where he's talking about stewardship, they will support his ministry financially, which is needed, of course. You have to, even ministers have to eat. The thing is that I think then he kind of encourages them toward stewardship in supporting the gospel ministry. What you have in Paul's letters too, like Romans, for instance. Romans probably was like a letter, a resume. The apostle, where it was, where the apostle Paul is telling his doctrine, he's very comprehensive in telling it, so that he will have a reception when he goes to Rome, among at the church there. So in the same way here, he's trying to encourage the Corinthians for his collection for the poor Christians in Jerusalem.
505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. Try the email. Works great. KFUO@KFUO.org. Let's go to the phones, Pastor Boyce, Claire, and bring John on first. Good morning. You're setting the tone for the week, John. Thanks for calling.
Good morning, Rowan. Good morning, Pastor Boyce, Claire.
Good morning, John.
Always a pleasure to talk to you both.
Thank you.
It's a pleasure to talk to you, too.
Thank you. I had a quick question here, and it kind of alludes into two, and I'll be brief. The question basically is approximately what, I'm kind of looking at a timeline, approximately what year was this epistle written, you know, how many years approximately after Christ's crucifixion and, you know, after Paul's revelation?
Just not having the exact date. Or right, 50. The year 53 A.D. comes into mind. It's probably during the when Claudius was emperor of Rome, just before Nero. It could have been during the time when Nero was emperor as well. I want to get an exact date, but I.
Right.
Roland, do you have more information about that?
I do.
Oh, good.
Oh, you want it?
Please.
It's in my office. I have a great, John, I'll commend a great resource to you. It's called From Abraham to Paul. It's written by Dr. Andrew Steinman out of Concordia, Chicago. You can get it from CPH. And it's a timeline of all of these biblical events, when they take place, and their relationship to others. It's a reference that I use, but I don't have it in the studio.
According to the the Lutheran Study Bible, it's 55 A.D.
Oh, okay. I've got to get one of those Bibles. Sorry.
No, that's great. I think that might be the first year of Nero's emperor when he was.
So we're only looking at within 25 to 30 years after the resurrection of Jesus.
Yes.
Those that basically say some of these books aren't accurate, things of that nature. I mean, I can remember quite well things that happened within 25 years ago. So. I guess I was just trying to kind of get a timeline going here. And
You mention and you bring up a very important point. This is within living memory.
Yeah.
It's like Paul is saying to these folks when he preaches the gospel, hey, God reconciled the world to himself just 20 short years ago in the life of Jesus Christ. And that's what, one of my professors used to call a scandal of particularity. Something that God breaks into our history. It's not something that happened. The salvation of the world is not something that happened in some kind of time of legend like all the other religions talk about. But it is something that happens in human history, so recently. That's the powerful impact and the authenticity of the Christian faith.
Right. It's just it's extremely fascinating to me to look at that. I mean, I realize that he spoken through the Holy Spirit and everything. You know, I realize that from front cover to back cover, it's the Word of God. But, you know, sometimes it's good just to throw out some of those years to people. It kind of takes them by surprise sometimes. So, but sorry to take you off the beaten path.
No, that's very helpful. Thank you very much for your question.
I appreciate the show, Rowan. Thank you so much.
Thank you, John. Appreciate the call. Let's continue with the phone callers. Go to Bob next. Bob, good morning. Good to hear from you.
Good morning, Rowan. Good morning, Pastor.
Good morning, Bob.
I think one of the things that is really striking about this particular section is that Paul is telling about all these different things that happened to him, and pastors, laymen, anyone that who reads this should say, wow, I haven't experienced that kind of thing. I've been really blessed. I have not had those experiences. I have not been shipwrecked. I have not been beaten. I must really be blessed, as opposed to Paul, who was beaten and shipwrecked and everything else.
Absolutely. You know, that's a very good way to look at that. I don't think I've ever looked at that. You know, some people might think, well, maybe I'm missing out on something. You know, as God's in the spiritual office of the pastorate or whatever service. Are you a pastor, Bob?
No, I'm a layman. I taught for a lot of years, Old Testament, a Bible class.
Wow.
But now that I've lost my sight, I can't do that anymore, so I listen to Bible study.
Well, sounds like you've got one of St. Paul's attributes. He wasn't able to see too well, or he lost.
Yeah, he would write in big letters, and so I think I can understand that. I have to use about a 36-40 font to be able to see it. So,
well, at least you can still see. But the thing is what you say is a very good point. That it's encouraging that you've been able to do more in your ministry because you didn't receive such opposition, you might say.
And
I think that's a very encouraging way to look at this passage.
Okay, thank you very much, Bradley.
Don't give up teaching, Bob. You do great when you call the program. You always are, you know, you amplify a lot of this text. You do a great job. Don't sell yourself short. You can still teach pretty good.
Well, the problem is that I can't remember most of what I used to teach. You know, the old memory goes, not only the eyes go bad, but so does the memory. And it's amazing to me. I can't remember half of what I used to teach, you know, so I just struggle along with it and keep on going.
All right.
You know, you remember that Homer, who wrote the Iliad and the Odyssey, he was blind. So
yeah.
So you can, you know, the Lord can still use you powerfully to share his word with his people.
And, we'll see you later.
Yeah.
Take care, Bob. Calling. Thanks for the call.
Okay, yeah. Bye-bye.
If, like John and Bob, you'd like to join the program, 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727, KFUO at KFUO.org. So, Pastor Boyce Clare, the Corinthians get to be comfortable Christians.
Yes. I imagine they also have a very high opinion of themselves because...
Well, that's part of the comfort. They're taking pride in their possessions and status, right?
Yeah, and again, maybe then when they hear about Paul's misfortunes, they can think, well, we're better off than he is, and we're better than he is. God, and see, that's kind of a temptation, too, because you could say, well, God is blessing me more. You know, a lot of times, whenever you see opposition to the faith, that's where God is really at work, and then when you see that things seem to be going well, that's when you wonder, is it the true faith?
Pastor Boyce Clare, when we get back, we'll continue on through 2 Corinthians 6, the first 13 verses or so is our assignment. But, you know, the greatest opposition to the church today seems to be coming from inside the church for just what you're talking about.
Exactly.
Join us, 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727, KFUO at KFUO.org. Stick around. We will be right back.
The thought of my sons growing up without me inspired me to quit smoking.
I talked to my doctors, and then I threw away all my cigarettes, ashtrays, and lighters.
I started exercising instead of smoking.
Getting support from friends online kept me on track.
Staying away from alcohol when I was first quitting was key.
Instead of smoking after I ate, I'd get up and take a walk.
I missed having a cigarette in my hand, so I'd hold a pen or a straw, anything.
Until I knew I wouldn't give in to temptation, I spent more time with my friends who didn't smoke.
I went to places that were smoke-free.
I didn't stay quit the very first time I tried.
I kept on trying, and I learned something each time.
Do whatever it takes.
No matter how many times it takes.
I quit.
I quit.
I quit.
We did it, so can you.
You can quit. For free help, call 1-800-QUIT-NOW. A message from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and CDC.
For the next broadcast of Law Gospel, we again examine the readings for the following Sunday. The Old Testament reading gives the impression that the people of God will possess the promised land because they are obedient. And the gospel speaks of what defiles a man, which is disobedience. How are you comforted by that?
Weekdays at 2 p.m. on KFUO, the messenger of good news.
I'm Pastor Doug Nicely. Do you have a minute? Whenever we have thunder and lightning storms roaring through our town, Vicki and I remember the times when we couldn't sleep too terribly well at night, and it wasn't us. Our Labrador retriever named Bear was always terrified by thunder. He barked in the direction of the lightning until it went away, and it always did, so I'm sure Bear was convinced that his panic barking always worked. Actually, the Bible's people were just as frightened by storms as Bear was. The Hebrews were especially afraid of storms on the sea. Psalm 107 chronicles the perilous journey of some pilgrims who traveled by sea to the Promised Land for the celebration of a great festival. Some went down to the sea in ships doing business on the great waters. They saw the deeds of the Lord, his wondrous works in the deep, for he commanded and raised a stormy wind which lifted up the waves of the sea. They mounted up to heaven and went down to the depths. Their courage melted away in their evil plight, and they reeled and staggered like drunken men, and they were at wit's end. And they cried to the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them from their distress. This incident reminds me of one of the Gospels' stories about when Jesus fell asleep in the back of the boat as his disciples crossed the Sea of Galilee. Soon a fierce storm arose, and high waves began to break the boat apart until it was nearly full of water. Then the fishermen-turned-disciples were terrified. They woke up the Lord, shouting, "Teacher, don't you care if we are going to drown?" And when he woke up, he rebuked the wind and said to the water, "Be quiet." And suddenly the wind stopped, and there was a great calm. And he asked them, "Why are you so afraid? Do you still not have faith in me?" And they were filled with awe and said among themselves, "Who is this man that even the wind and the waves obey him?" Lord, deliverance is one of the miraculous works you do best. May we learn from your word for us today that the mighty Lord who delivered the pilgrims from the sea and the disciples from the storm is still our great rescuer today. For we pray in the name of Jesus, who is the ruler over the wind and the waves. Amen.
Welcome back to the Bible Study on listener-supported KFUO Radio. I'm Roland Lettner. Our pastor this morning is Pastor David Boisclair, serving two congregations in Mid-North County here at the St. Louis metro area. It's Faith Lutheran Church and Bethesda Lutheran Church. We did not mention, my apologies for that, Pastor Boisclair, about the resale shop. We do want to encourage folks to stop by there and either drop stuff off or buy lots of stuff from you over there at, what was it, 3,000
Lucas and Hunt Road, yeah. Yes, in Velda City, in the near north side, on the road to Lutheran North High School.
Yeah, it's in the neighborhood of Lutheran North. Sure, folks know where that is.
It's actually the closest LCMS congregation to Lutheran North High School.
Do you do a lot of work with that school?
I'd like to. We're somewhat limited because we're like St. Paul. We're down, but we're not out.
Well, as we went to the break, I think what you were doing was a very good job of illustrating how we are such Corinthians today when it comes to the faith, because you have all these guys, well-known, I mean, you can name them going back to, I guess, maybe the mid 19th century when sort of the cult of the famous pastor begins. And you have these mega churches, and now today you've got the TV guys, and they have publishing companies, and they have production companies, and they have big churches and multiple campuses and universities and who knows all this kind of stuff. And they are like the super apostles. And then here you come, Pastor Boyce Clare, and you talk about, you don't say things like, well, God wants you to be happy and God wants you to have good things and God is disappointed if you're, you know, despondent in your circumstances. You know, he wants you to have the desires of your heart.
Yes, you know? And yeah, it's sort of that. What's a prosperity gospel?
Yeah, exactly.
And they make a lot of. They of course get a lot of followers from that, and of course as St. Paul says in Romans, he says, or, I'm sorry, it's Philippians, where he talks about how the gospel gets out even though people are preaching it to get him into trouble. I mean, wherever, you know, it's encouraging, especially in a world where Christians are being crucified in Egypt, there's this, the word is still getting out even in organizations like you mentioned of folks that build their own private kingdoms as churches. And churches are a very money-making proposition too in our own community here. I imagine though that people do it sincerely to try to reach people with the gospel. You know, I don't think I've met anyone that started a church in our area to just simply make money. But again, it's kind of like that's a possibility that if you want to. and you can follow Christ for loaves, as John Bunyan says.
Yeah.
And but I mean, in a sense, the Apostle Paul, in a sense, is talking about the theology of the cross too. I don't think we mentioned that, where Paul is talking about the marks of opposition from the evil world against him. That's the church is under the shadow of the cross, and it is in through weakness. And then the Apostle Paul, of course, will say later in 13, it says that God says, in weakness my power is made perfect, or, you know, is shown forth. That's why St. Paul says, and I all the more will, boast in my weaknesses, or so that the power of Christ may be made strong, or, you know, made, you know, work itself out in my life.
505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. How much of a challenge is that? I mean, we talk about these things on KFUO periodically, especially when some of these folks make the news, generally make the news because they're a prominent pastor and they somehow have one of these moments where they fall from grace. But just in the trenches, every day, when you look at your circumstance there with two small congregations in a challenged part of town, and then you look at some of these guys on TV, do you ever have those moments where you go, what am I doing wrong?
There are some, not really as often as you might think, because, again, I guess I'm just too much of a traditionalist. I believe in church the way I was raised, the church that I was raised, my grandfather's church, you might say.
Yeah.
And I think my people also treasure that as well, the hymns, the traditional hymns and the Lutheran liturgy, it's such a blessing. I sort of chuckle. I remember my stepmom, who was a Roman Catholic, she really didn't like Oral Roberts, and one time I was watching television we were watching television, and there was a special, an Oral Roberts special, and they had all of these people that were singing Christian music, and they were like dressed in gold and jewels and everything like that. And my stepmom, she says, now look at that, David. She says that's not like your church. That's not like any church we know about here with all this fancy glitz and glitter, you know.
Corinthians when you can have family like that? Yeah.
That's your theology of glory, you know. I suppose the thing is I'm thankful to God that he has blessed me with the knowledge of of Orthodox true Christian doctrine, and that's something that is a treasure that I hold in this cracked pot, this earthen vessel.
Yes, that's,
of mine.
That was our text last week when you joined us.
Tuesday. Yeah.
All right. Hey, let's go back to the phones very quickly here, and then we'll continue on with our text. David, good morning. You're up next with Pastor Boyce Clare.
Hello, brothers.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I wanted to make a comment. He mentioned about how some of the preachers in our society are kind of poor, but I'm talking about the ones that are really wealthy, like the Swaggerts, Joel Osteen, the Joyce Meyers. I mean, they rake in the money, and I've heard they're pretty much dripping in money, and I think that turns a lot of people off as far as the way people are struggling in today's society with jobs, and when you see people who are supposedly preaching the Bible, they seem to be in it for, and I can't judge their motives, but it seems like they got some six-figure incomes.
Yeah, and I think you put your finger on something that's really interesting. Is that's kind of reminds you what of the Apostle Paul says, that in the latter days people will have itching ears and they want preachers that will say the things that they want to hear. And I'm not saying that that's necessarily true in a lot of this, but take Joel Osteen, for instance. Some have said, you know, that have listened to him. I have never listened to him, and I ought to, perhaps. But he never mentions Jesus sometimes in an entire sermon, or it's all about feeling good, or it's there's positive, he's basically Joel Osteen is the new Norman Vincent Peale. He's
right.
the power of positive thinking.
It appeals to your old Adam. He's primarily a motivational speaker.
Yes.
And when Peter and John healed that lame man in the temple,
yes,
and Peter said, well, you know, silver or gold I don't have, but what I give to you, and I'm not saying a pastor or preacher has to be a pauper, but just the way people look at things nowadays, you know, if you're dripping in money, I think it people lose credibility. I don't know.
Yeah, you make a very good point. And then ultimately, is the gospel blamed for this? You know, the Apostle Paul was concerned, so the ministry will not be blamed. He even took on another job as, his trade as a tent maker. And so he says, I want to give you the gospel free of charge. And here this guy, you know, he was an amazing man. I really look forward when I go to heaven that I'm going to meet St. Paul, because I'm sure he's going to have a lot of stories to tell us. But he's so concerned that the ministry not be blamed, that the gospel not be blamed by people. And ultimately, you know, you have to tell people that are maybe turned off by these you know, six-figured income preachers, don't blame the gospel, don't blame the church for incidences like that.
And sometimes you almost think if bad times or persecution did come, they'd be the first ones to run.
Probably.
Well,
more than likely. And you see there's also, consequences. Look at Joyce Meyer's ministries being sued as they are. Of course, I don't know whether it's, people sue for the most ridiculous things, but in that case, I think it's kind of like a frivolous lawsuit, I don't know.
Let me know. I'll listen on the radio, but let me know. Am I being too critical, too?
Okay.
How far can you go? Okay, appreciate it. Thanks.
All right, thank you, David. Well, what do you think, Pastor Boyce Clare?
I think David is raising a very good point, and again, it's these folks. The thing is, what they should be like Billy Graham. Billy Graham told people to go to church. You know, in other words, people are maybe staying away from church, turning on these programs on Sunday morning or whatever. These folks should be directing people back into the church, into the congregation. And whatever denomination, I would encourage... The Lutheran Missouri Synod denomination, but yeah. The thing is that that they need to be directing people back to the church. That's why in Lutheran Hour Ministries, if you remember when Dale Meyer was speaker, he said, bringing Christ to the nations and the nations to the church.
Well, here's a question that I think is confused today. One of the, being a little bit of a history buff, back at the formation of our country, they were figuring up what the national motto should be.
Oh, yeah.
All right. And a lot of things were proffered. And one of the ones that was offered up by, of all people, Benjamin Franklin, was mind your business.
Mind your, well, really?
Mind your business. And
that'd be something he'd say.
Yeah, that's something I picked up way back in high school, and it's kind of stuck with me. You know, mind your business. Well, with these other guys who are on television, this goes to David's question about are we being too critical. Well, okay, so what? Should we, when it comes to the church, and Paul talking about the reputation of Christ, the reputation of the gospel, the reputation of the broad church.
Yes.
When we see something like Corinth going on, when we see people abusing the Word of God for profit and fun, when we see people that run churches that bring a new gospel,
yes,
that isn't quite the one that we're used to, should we just mind our own business? I mean, should we be talking about Joel Osteen and Joyce Myers and all these other people, or should we just mind our own business?
No, we have, because we are in the Lord's business. It's all the Lord's business. And so it's something that we ought, well, if we're going to mind our own business, that's, we're minding our own business by minding the Lord's business. And when folks are, you know, thinking back 30 years ago, boy, that's terrible for me to have to do that. But I remember when Sun Myung Moon in his Unification Church came out.
The Moonies.
And I remember being confronted by these folks in college, and my pastor said, "I'll tell you what. Here's an article from Christianity Today, and shown by the light of the Savior Lee Moon, and it really exposed them for being a not Christianity at all, but a false religion." And sometimes that's something that we always should be critical, because the Lord Jesus himself in the Sermon on the Mount said, beware of false prophets, because they come to you like wolves in sheep's clothing. And so you always, people as Christians need to know the Word of God, and they are to be able to distinguish true doctrine from false doctrine.
And, of course, you do recall what the national motto is, right?
In God we trust.
No, that's on the money. It's E Pluribus Unum.
No, the motto is In God we trust.
It is.
E Pluribus Unum, out of many, one,
right.
Which is sort of like an adage, you might say.
Right, exactly. Yeah, that was all being kicked around. I just thought that, you know, it means a check for everybody, but that's another story. That's a
but no,
program.
But that means that's an important thing, too, that America's the melting pot, you know.
Well, and in many ways... In many ways, that also, and not directly, but you could, in a way, apply that to the church.
Yes,
out
exactly.
Of many,
well, that's what the Apostle Paul said, making of the two one man. He was talking about Jews, and he was talking about Gentiles, and both are one in Christ. And there's no male nor female, slave nor Scythian, barbarian, or anything. We are all one in Christ. And that, of course, is the church, the kingdom of grace.
So when it comes to worrying about other Corinthian churches, or discussing them, or at least being aware of them, are we called to any kind of action? I mean, the thing I'm thinking about is, you know, when you defend the honor of your wife, you're essentially defending the honor of all women.
Yes.
Same thing applies to the church?
Yes. I mean, you know, in other words, defending the honor of the church, or my church, or my congregation?
In general, yeah.
Yes, absolutely. You know, it has to be obviously properly distinguishing law and gospel. I mean, it's not my church, right or wrong. We have to be honest about where we have shortcomings. And obviously, in the case of Corinth, you had a mixture, obviously, of very serious shortcomings.
Yeah.
And people who were very, very grave sinners, because that was a city of grave sinners, And you know, but then the power of God is manifested through the weakness of these folks. You know, when they repent, and of course when the Holy Spirit works through them through the means of grace.
Yeah, and again, I have to, you know, for the sake of conversation, you can always paint with a broad brush, and that always leaves out some details because, you know, not every church that might be labeled a mega church or a big church falls into these things that we're discussing.
There certainly not.
There are some that are very prominent in the media, and those are the ones that we tend to talk about. So I don't want to, you know, condemn all, because there may be some out there that are doing very good work on behalf of the Lord, and that's not my point here. It's to bring up the example of what some of the bad ones
look, you know what it,
present on behalf of the church.
What is interesting is whenever, you know, something to look at is if you know, obviously in the church growth movement, which is helpful in some respects, where you can see what tends to, you know, what are the aspects of certain churches which grow, you know, then you're saying, well, what are they doing right? You know, again, but then you have to ask yourself the question, are all of the people that are members of these churches true Christians? And of course, obviously, even in the most orthodox congregation, there are also hypocrites mingled with the true Christians.
But just reading this and spending time with Paul over the last several months, going through 1st and now 2nd Corinthians, it just seems so obvious to me. Maybe I just spend too much time thinking about things like this, but it just seems so obvious to me that so much of what is called the church in the West, especially in the American context where we're used to being prosperous and number one and all that kind of stuff, is that it's the Corinthian church.
Yes.
It is. I mean, with any honest assessment cannot take you anywhere else other than to say much of the American church today in many areas and across denominations and church bodies, Protestant and even, you know, Roman Catholic and Orthodox in many cases, they're the Corinthian church.
Exactly. Exactly. And that's why it's a blessing in a sense, why, you know, it's unfortunate that they had so many challenges. It's unfortunate that they had so many hardships and then maybe so much sin that went on. But then again, it's from the benefit of that, the fact that it's enshrined in God's precious word, that now we are encouraged and instructed by their example or by their lack of an example.
Yeah, because, you know, they're doing everything that's supposed to be important. They're apparently growing in size.
Yes.
They're growing in revenue, because Paul talks about money and support of the ministry. Apparently they're growing in works. You know, they must be doing something, because the super apostles are out there running around accomplishing things.
Yes.
But I guess the question that Paul is driving at here is their behavior, is their attitude, is their disposition towards him going to comport with growing in what's really important, and that's faith?
Yes, and I think that's what he's constantly worried about. I'm sure that's basically what the apostles worried about, because Christian ministry is always removing, by the grace of God, the impediments and strengthening the faith, and the stumbling blocks, all of the stuff that clutters a clear hearing of the Word of God. Removed and to encourage and strengthen their faith in Jesus Christ.
Is there such a thing as a faithless church?
Well, according to Revelation, it spoke of different congregations, and there are congregations that are called faithless churches. Yes, especially when the central, you know, as some of our theologians have wondered, well, how corrupt in doctrine can a church be before it becomes not a Christian church, or that people aren't reborn? But even among churches which are faithless, you might say, if they still have the Bible and the preaching of the gospel, if they still have the sacraments, you know, there are still people, Christians, being regenerated through them. But yes, I would say yes, there is. Of course, especially if they've forsaken the gospel, I would say a lot of the mainline denominations in our country, many of them have departed from the pure gospel.
And this is the point about why we discuss things like this and why it's important. Paul pours his heart and soul into Corinth.
Yes.
But the church doesn't reciprocate.
Right.
Does that make them unworthy of the gospel?
Well, we're all unworthy of the gospel, but in a sense, as Luther pointed out in his preaching and ministry, that when people, you know, turn a cold shoulder toward Christ's ministers and the Word, and you know, in other words, they treat the Word of God coldly, God can remove His Word from a nation and bring it to another nation. And that's sort of a really strong, that's probably the worst law or the most severe law that you can probably say to people, is that you know, now is the acceptable time, now is the day of salvation. You know, if they start taking it for granted, and like the ancient Hebrews, of course, you know, worship became you know, just an outward pretense, just going through the motions. Then God can take His Word away from us.
Let's go back to the phones. We have a few moments left. Hope, thanks for the call this morning. You're going to be last up today with Pastor Boyce. Claire, go ahead.
This is it. This is not church bashing or that, but you've got a good example of a church falling apart, even though it was a very, very large, and that's the Crystal one out there in California.
Yeah, Robert Schuller's church. Yeah.
The father and the son disagreed, and the son was more, what do you say, believing more things of the Bible than whatever, and Schuller got carried away, I'm sorry, and he didn't want to discuss sin, and I know some women who just thought he was so great, so flowery, but we need to know, you know, that we need salvation, not just this lottie-doo type of preaching and so forth.
Exactly.
Okay?
And that's so important, yeah.
Yeah. And I just wanted to tell you that, okay?
Thank you, Hope. Appreciate you making the call this morning.
That's from Hope?
That was from Hope.
Yes. I would say exactly. You know, she brings up a perfect contemporary example of what happens, maybe what happens when a church goes more toward faithfulness to the Word of God, that it becomes less successful, you might say, in numbers of people and so, because people do not want to hear the law. They don't want their sinful deeds exposed, and like St. Paul says, they will gather around themselves preachers that they have itching ears, and they want to hear positive things, you know, about them.
So at the end of our text today, verse 13, where Paul commends to the Corinthian church, and we've got about a half a minute left here, to widen their hearts, is he admonishing them to, well, ask what makes them worthy of the gospel, and I guess in a sense, and then see what the truth of that is, which means not their own success, but look to Paul?
Well, I think to basically maybe have a broader vision of the mission and ministry of the church.
Oh, you mean it ain't about you, in other words?
Yeah, exactly. That's exactly right.
Or as we would say today, it's all about me, me, me.
Yes, and maybe to have basically to again to see the full scope of the work that the Lord wants them to do, and they have so much potential, he's saying.
And you know, don't be fooled by appearances, right?
Absolutely not.
Pastor David Boyce Claire serves Faith Lutheran Church and Bethesda Lutheran Church. Check out the resale shop, 3000
Lucas and Hunt Road.
Lucas and Hunt Road
in the south side of the North County.
Thank you, Pastor Boyce Claire. Up next, we've got Ask the Pastor. Stick around.
Listen to the Bible Study Monday through Friday at this same time. The Bible Study is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is needed for the Bible study to continue. Our address is 85 Founders Lane, St. Louis, Missouri, 63105. You can contact us on the web at kfuo.org. Download archives at kfuo.org. The Bible study is heard weekdays on KFUO Radio, a broadcast ministry of the Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod.